Tonight we'll look into the book of Jonah. I'm going to read the last verse of the third chapter and then the first two verses of the fourth chapter. So beginning with Jonah chapter 3 verse 10, and this is speaking of the Ninevites. It says, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." Well, the account of Jonah and the whale is a story that all of our kids here certainly know well. My granddaughters, when they stay at our house, they want to hear a bedtime story at the end of the night. And so sometimes I'll shake it up a bit. I'll tell them that there was a man in Portland that God told to go to Seattle because he was angry with Seattle, but he didn't like Seattle. So he went down to LA and got on a cruise ship and went out in the ocean, and a storm came up, and sometime right in there, one of them, "I know this story. I know this. This is Jonah and the whale." Well, they learn this account very quickly. It's a very colorful story. A prophet that is told to go and cry out against a city, refusing to do that, trying to run as far away from the presence of God as he can, and then getting thrown over a ship and swallowed by a whale, and then waiting 3 days in the belly of that whale to finally pray, then getting spit out on a beach and finally doing what God told him to do. Well, kids, all of us can grab a hold of a message like that and understand that we should do what God tells us to do. Well, we have to remember, it's not just a story. It's a historical account. During our Lord's earthly ministry, he likened his death and resurrection to Jonah. He said, just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He also told that generation that the men of Nineveh are going to rise up in the judgment and condemn them because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and a greater of Jonah was there. Also, we find in 2 Kings, the 14th chapter, it lets us know that Jonah was from a place in the Galilee region called Gath Hepher. We know that as Cana of Galilee. And we can understand also that many Bible scholars will look at the book of Jonah and feel that it comes closer to New Testament teaching than any of the Old Testament books. And so it's a very unique book. It's interesting that our Lord grew up in that same area and performed his first miracle there. But somewhat overshadowed in this book due to Jonah's hatred of the Assyrians is the tremendous faith that he possessed in God. It's quite remarkable. And tonight I would like us to Consider this question as we just look a little bit into this. Do we have the same faith in God that Jonah had? Now, as you look at the book of Jonah, you have no doubt that he knew the one who was calling him. He knew his voice. He had no doubt of what the message was and the instructions that he was given. So it's clear that he had an open communication with God. He was told again to go to Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. The Lord referred to it as a great city. It was large even by today's standards. They think maybe even 60 miles in diameter. Had an 8-foot thick wall all the way around it. And he was to cry out against it because its wickedness had come up before God. He was told, I want you to deliver a message of judgment against Assyria. And as we know, Jonah refused to do that. Instead, he attempted to flee from God. Now, just so that we can understand how much this was to him, he went the opposite direction in Israel down to Joppa, and the farthest destination, the end of the world, really was Tarshish. That would be modern Gibraltar. That's as far as he could imagine getting away, and that's what he wanted to do, and we know how that ended up. It says that a great storm came up as they were on the Mediterranean Sea. And in fact, the translation of that literally is God hurled a storm at them. And they tried to overcome that storm. They could not. Finally, the captain found Jonah asleep down in the hold of the ship, told him to get up, cry out to your God. And the men got scared when they found out who he was, what his occupation was, why he was on the ship, and why he was fleeing from God. He finally convinced them in order for them to be safe and get the seas calm, they needed to toss him out. And of course, they tossed him out and he was swallowed then by that great fish. Well, why did he flee from the presence of God? I think it was more than just his hatred of the Assyrians. They were brutal enemies of Israel. They had invaded the country. They had held the country as a vassal country, inflicted harm, inflicted taxes, tribute, and had slaughtered many of their people. And so it should have delighted Jonah that God had finally had enough. But for Jonah, there was a problem. Jonah had faith in the character of God. You understand that? Jonah knew who God was. And Jonah would have been a prophet. He followed Elijah and then Elisha, who understood that the God of Israel was a God of love. The God of Israel was a God of mercy. The God of Israel was one that he knew that no matter how bad or how far the people went, if they would repent and turn to God, he would hear and answer their prayer. So Jonah knew immediately that if he went to Nineveh with a God-inspired message of judgment, along with that, it could easily open the door of mercy to them. It has been said that it's only God's mercy that can span the gulf between judgment and pardon. So he too would have also had to consider what it would be like to be the prophet that returned to Israel, having delivered a message that led their enemy to repentance and salvation as a country. To him, he could not imagine it. They didn't deserve that. There's an account where Napoleon had a soldier who was caught sleeping on guard duty, which was a capital offense. So he was scheduled to be executed. And his mother went to Napoleon to beg mercy. And Napoleon replied to her that, "For what your son has done, he does not deserve mercy." And the mother replied, "If he deserved it, it would not be mercy." And Napoleon commuted the sentence. So what we find here, really, the conflict for Jonah was that he recognized that within the attributes of God was this amazing capacity for God to extend grace and mercy to those that seemed the least deserving of it. He knew that no matter how bad or how wrong that they had been, that God could extend to them mercy. Jonah, no doubt as a child growing up, would have heard all the accounts of his people being delivered out of Egypt and how that God met Moses on Mount Sinai and passed before him. And when the Lord did that, he proclaimed, "The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin." And we can see here that this gave Jonah an unshakable faith in the loving, merciful character of God. And that is what caused him to want to flee from his presence. "I can't go there. If I go there with a message from God, there's the opportunity for them to repent. They don't deserve that." Well, he was right. Nineveh did not deserve that. They didn't deserve any consideration at all. They deserved God's wrath and his judgment. But so did Jonah. And so did you and I. The Apostle Paul told the believers in Rome, "For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God." All of us deserve his wrath and his judgment. However, we know that God extends mercy. In Ephesians, the second chapter, he begins by telling us that we were dead in our sins. We were deserving of God's judgment. But then it says this in verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's why we can sit here tonight and enjoy the presence and fellowship of the Spirit and of those that want to worship God in spirit and in truth. It is a heavenly place in Christ Jesus, and it's through his mercy, it's through his love, It's through that unmerited favor that God extended to us. It is sad that as much as Jonah believed in these attributes of God, that he was unwilling to extend them to the people of Nineveh. In the Beatitudes, of course, the Lord in Matthew 5:7 said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." But we can see even God tried to help his struggling prophet there as he wanted to sit and wait for the destruction of Nineveh, letting him know that there are 120,000 here that can't even distinguish between their right hand and their left hand. God loves his people. God loves his creation. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So again, the question is, do you have the same faith in God that Jonah had? Do you know, like Jonah knew, that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and will turn from his judgment if you repent? If you are not saved tonight, what would Jonah tell you to do? How would he think? I believe that he would want you to know God will hear your prayer. God always stands ready to forgive, and all we need to do is just respond to his message. He would also tell you that I was 3 days and three nights in the belly of that great fish, yet when I finally cried out to God for mercy, for help, God heard my prayer. And God answered my prayer. How hard is our situation? What difficulties are we looking at? What is there that God cannot do or cannot undertake for in our life? We can maybe be seeking something. And it's a trick of the enemy to have us think that we somehow need to deserve God's blessing. Or the experience that we're seeking after. Or I need to somehow earn it. I think Jonah would say, are you kidding? God is gracious. God is merciful. God is kind. I didn't take a message to Nineveh anything more than what God told me to say. I didn't add to it. I didn't give them instructions on what to do. That's just how merciful our Lord and Savior is. That's just how merciful God is. He is more willing to give than we are to receive. I think that sometimes we have to get away from what we may feel about ourselves as we come before God and seek Him. And rather, look to the character of a Heavenly Father that wants to give us good things. The Lord wants to hear and answer each prayer tonight. And if you're not saved, you want to take this opportunity. Judgment will come. We expect that any time the rapture of the church is going to occur. It could happen at any moment. Don't be a Jonah and be running away from God. This is the time to be running to God. If you need a deeper experience, don't worry about deserving it or trying to earn it. Just come before God and allow Him to give it to you, because that's what He wants to do. We're going to have an opportunity to pray, and the song's 479, and the altars are open.